Order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, November 9th, 2015. And this has been our longstanding tradition for many decades, actually. Mayor and Council would like to invite everyone to join us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda is the approval of the executive session minutes of October 26th.
Mayor, I'll make the motion. We accept the executive session minutes on October 26th.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the executive session minutes as proposed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. The motion will pass 4-0 with Councilmember Purnell absent. Okay. The reason for the executive session, there were three reasons under the state open meetings provisions. Is first to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom the Berlin Mayor and Council has jurisdiction, or any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. The second reason was to consider the acquisition of real property for a public purpose and matters directly related thereto. The third reason was to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Okay. Next is the approval of the regular session minutes for Monday, October 26th.
Mayor, I've got a correction on page 3, please.
Okay.
Number 5, the very last sentence on the bottom, where it states Councilmember Goyas inquired about tax revenue, but this is not an issue since the town already owns the property. I'm not quite sure what that means. If you recall the discussion, I was bringing forward to the council and to the audience the fact that the property was going back into the tax rolls.
Okay.
There may have just been a little bit of ambiguity there is all.
Sure. Do you have a suggestion on how we can make that more accurate? Excuse me?
I can go back and take it and make it verbatim.
Okay. All right. That can't beat verbatim. All right. Is that acceptable?
That would be fine.
Okay. All right.
That would be fine. Very minor.
Hey, we're here to make sure you're right. Because I can guarantee you that not many people are going to remember what was said 6 weeks or...
So long as she doesn't throw a drink at me, we're fine.
All right.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the regular session minutes as amended for Monday, October 26th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes 4-0. Our second item on the agenda tonight is an application for a one-day permit for a beer, wine, and liquor at the Boggs Dish Room, American Legion Post 123 in Berlin on November 22nd. Is there any questions or any?
That should be for a district meeting also.
Line,
where it says convention or group, should be a district meeting. Annual district meeting.
Okay.
And I'll make a motion to approve that.
Good. No, thank you. Appreciate that help there. Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the one-day special permit for alcoholic beverages at Boggs Dish Room, American Legion Post 123 for their annual district meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, very well. Now we're up to number 3 on the agenda. This is a proclamation proclaiming November to be Municipal Government Works Month. Hopefully that's not too much subject to debate, but everybody can have their opinion, that's for sure. But anyway, this is our proclamation, and it is one that is promoted statewide. And Do I get the honor, or do you want to take the honor?
It's your choice, Your Honor.
You go right ahead.
So this proclamation that we're proposing that the council approve is part of the Banner Cities program for the Maryland Municipal League. So I'll just go ahead and read it. It's Proclamation 2015-15. It's a proclamation of the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin, Maryland, proclaiming November to be Municipal Government Works Month. The Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin do hereby proclaim November to be Municipal Government Works Month. Whereas the Town of Berlin was incorporated in 1868, and whereas Maryland is home to 156 other municipalities, and whereas municipal government represents the most responsive level of government, allowing citizens to have direct access to elected officials, and whereas in an effort to educate citizens about municipal government and the importance of their participation, the Town of Berlin is proud to promote municipal government awareness. And during 2015, the Town of Berlin promoted municipal government awareness by holding its first series of community meetings to develop its first strategic plan, hosting the second annual Touch a Truck event, purchasing a Powertown display to promote electric safety at community events, obtaining redesignation as a sustainable Maryland community, hosting or supporting 16 community events as a HEAL community, initiating free community walks with elected officials, becoming a Maryland Smart Energy community, receiving the Governor's Service Award for the Ambassador Program, partnering with local businesses to provide free shuttles to several town events, providing free sandbags in preparation for Hurricane Joaquin. Whereas municipalities have enhanced the quality of life for their respective residents, maintaining natural and historic sites and structures, and helping to make Maryland a great place to live, work, play, and explore, now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin, Maryland, hereby joins the Maryland Municipal League in declaring November to be Municipal Government Works Month in the Town of Berlin.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can I make that motion, Mayor, then?
Certainly.
We've done this every year, I believe. I'd like to make a motion proclaiming November to be Municipal Government's Work Month.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Hall to proclaim November as Municipal Government Works Month. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Thank you very much. Motion again passed unanimously with 4-0 vote. Number four is introduction of Resolution 2015-13, withholding permits and licenses because of overdue town accounts. And town, Laura, are you going to lead on this?
Yep, I'll take the lead on this again. This essentially codifies the town's current practice whereby the town administrator may withhold a permit or a license upon the receipt of information that the individual making the application has outstanding town accounts. This would be overdue either electric bills or water bills, things of that nature. So what this resolution does in effect is codify our current practice. It grants the town administrator the authority to withhold permits and licenses upon the receipt of information that there are town accounts overdue by the applicant. It also outlines the process by which the applicant can cure that, pay their bill, and a process for the town administrator to release that hold on the permit or license.
I think the biggest advantage here is that it treats everybody the same. Mm-hmm. And it, regardless of who the town administrator or any of the customer service people or our finance people, it doesn't put them on the spot trying to say, well, so-and-so has been, you know, really cooperative and so-and-so, and I feel bad about this, but it just makes it very simple. I don't know anywhere anymore where you can start the processes of business or government or anything if you owe money. So here this is not a big problem, but I think the biggest advantage here puts everybody on the same playing field and takes all these folks who basically work for everyone off the spot of having to try to make a judgment call on a case-by-case basis.
This is the introduction.
That's the introduction.
Yeah, this is the
it's
introduction.
A resolution, so.
We voted on right
now.
Move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve Resolution 2015-13. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. To make show that the motion was passed 3-1. Thank you. Item number five is a motion to approve 2015-07, a contract for planning services with the acronym is ERM, or Environmental Resources Management. And Laura, are you going to take the lead on this?
This is a follow-up to a request for qualifications that we issued in August as a result of a conversation I had with the mayor and an interest in initiating a community-wide discussion on growth. We released the request for qualifications, searching for a planning firm that could help facilitate that discussion. There was a panel review with four staff people, and we selected ERM as our first choice. We had a conference call with them on, I believe it was last Friday before last, outlining some specifics in terms of approach. If the council approves this contract tonight, we'll begin that discussion with the community on growth probably over a weekend in January, those dates to be determined. The value of the contract, I should say there's a slight typo in the motion to approve. The value of the contract is $46,382. This would include a series of discussions, essentially a community-wide workshop that would go over a Friday afternoon, a Saturday, and a Sunday. That's the proposal.
What was that amount again?
$46,382.
The basic premise here is that it's, although not an, not an identical procedure as the strategic planning, that I believe of the council and most every participant I've spoken to since then found very helpful, very open, and we were extremely pleased with the participation. We want to have the same sort of process as we discuss, not just growth for the next year, or not just growth from on a case-by-case basis, but what kind of vision do we have for the town of Berlin, and how should we basically plan for what I think is realistic, is incremental growth. There are so many factors. It's not like you decide you're going to add so many units a year or so many commercial facilities a year. The marketplace is the main driver. But what we can hopefully do is help guide that process, and we want the public's input in an organized, well-thought-out way that with experienced people leading the discussion. We don't want to waste people's time. We want people to come and have an opportunity to express their hopes and dreams and concerns and everything, but at the same time in a way in which we will not have wasted a weekend, but we will have found maybe a lot of the areas of consensus that then we can then, as a mayor and council and as professional staff and consultants can then come up with a longer view vision of what growth in Berlin should look like for the foreseeable future. So that's what this is about.
I'm just a little confused about the strategic planning and this, why it wouldn't be redundant.
This is essentially a drill down from the strategic planning process.
Taking that
you may recall there were a couple of issues that popped up around growth, one of which was what I heard the community say anyway is we don't want unfettered, unfocused growth. So what we've been doing with this is drilling down into that discussion a little bit more deeply and then identifying tools that we could use to address that concern, whether it's a review of our zoning code, maybe it's adopting form-based codes, looking at where we want commercial growth, how to manage growth in such a way that you're not creating significant parking and traffic impacts. But we need a level of expertise to help guide that discussion, and this planning firm provides that.
That's one thing I think that there's some really wonderful people in this community who really care about this community, but there are no experts on something this comprehensive. And one of the things I believe that the strategic plan, what was inspiring about it is that people have so many hopes and dreams and identified so many very legitimate needs that are unfulfilled in this community that now we realistically can begin to plan for. It doesn't mean it's all going to happen at once, but it all can happen over time. But that's great, knowing what you want. The other part, this is the part about how we afford to to accomplish all those wonderful ideas, and what priorities do we set? What things do we encourage, and what things do we discourage? And how do we grow? And two, within the means that we can influence it, how fast? We can't make growth happen when the market's not there, but as the market recovers, we need to have, you know, a handle on the throttle, and also a couple hands on the steering wheel, so we're directing that growth as much as we can within the laws. And it's interesting. This is an area where, compared to 30 years ago, many more citizens see where government does play a role in trying to make sure a community becomes what it wants to be, versus it wasn't that long ago where they said, it's my property, I can do any damn thing I want with it. Those days, they're at least history in this community, but we're trying to do it in a way where we build on what we have in a way that is financially responsible, culturally and economically vibrant, and that we build on what I think is a very nice place, but that we have to have a vision and a plan. This is the first step, and that's the best way I know to explain why we feel the strategic planning process went far better than our expectations. And I do not think it would have worked anywhere near that way without bringing in objective people without preconceived notions that are not pushing for this or pushing for that, but are trying to get a good balanced feel for what the community wants. And again, this is an opportunity for people, if you care. We're picking January on purpose because at least most people I know, it's the least busy time of the year in terms of making a living. That hasn't changed in 100 years. I don't think it's going to change by January. And so in our strategic planning sessions, people said, yes, I had a little extra time. My parents could watch the kids. It was very good. If we put this off until a spring or summer, I don't think it would work anywhere near as effectively. So that's why we're asking the council to consider this now, because it doesn't happen by just a flip of the fingers.
With all that said, you got me convinced. I'd like to make the motion that we accept the contract number 2015-07 with ERM Management.
We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the contract for a total of $46,382 with Environmental Resources Management to direct and organize the beginning of our discussion on incremental growth to the future of Berlin. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Thank you very much, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
There's so much going on, I sometimes feel like an explanation is needed, because I'm glad to say there's so much going on. Okay, next is a public hearing on the revised ordinance 2015-06, text amendment to the town zoning ordinance, section 108, 715, section 2A. And Dave Englehart, as our planning director, you're going to make it the presentation and explain what's different in the revised proposal.
Shall I read it first, or?
Why don't you read it?
Reading,
and then maybe just explain what it means, whatever way you all want to do it, you know?
This is ordinance number 2015-06, an ordinance of the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin, Maryland, a municipal corporation amending chapter 108, zoning, section 108-715, item 2, sub-item A, multifamily buildings. Be it resolved by the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin that Chapter 108, Section 108-715-2A be amended as follows. Multifamily buildings shall consist of a group of not more than 12 dwelling units unless the Planning Commission finds that an improved development plan can be achieved and that public necessity convenience, general welfare, and good zoning practice will be better served, in which case the Planning Commission may allow a multifamily building to consist of up to, but not to exceed, 36 units as determined on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. I'm now going to open the public hearing on this proposed ordinance. Is there anyone here from the state of Maryland who wishes to address the mayor and council? Is there anyone here from Worcester County government who wishes to address the mayor and council? Is there anyone in attendance here tonight that wishes to address the mayor and council? Right. You'll just come forward and identify yourself. And
yes, Martin Proper, 6200 Coastal Highway, Suite 200, Ocean City, Maryland. And with me is Mr. Claire Vernier, who's my client that authorized, in fact, instructed me to pursue a text amendment with regard to the Ocean's East project on east of Seahawk Road that you are also abundantly familiar with at this point. As I'm sure you all recall, we appeared before the mayor and council not too long ago, wherein a discussion took place about the initial proposed text amendment, and due to a desire to see a cap placed on this particular legislation, I withdrew that legislation that evening. We returned to the Planning Commission on October the 14th. The Planning Commission had an extensive discussion, and a cap was agreed upon of the same text amendment, but the Planning Commission would not have the authority to approve a site plan with greater than 36 units in any single building. So the cap is 36 units. That was agreed upon that evening between my client and given support by the Planning Commission. With that cap, the Planning Commission gave the legislation that's before you a favorable recommendation. So tonight's public hearing, we are seeking your support in adopting the text amendment with that particular cap. Mr. Rainier has had two separate renderings prepared showing the benefits of this text amendment.
Thanks, sir.
Enough for everybody. And it's the same rendering that are on the easel before you. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Rainier to explain how, should the council adopt this text amendment, it will provide a significant benefit to the development of the site.
Thank you for having me tonight and the opportunity to share my thoughts on this. Basically, if you look at these two alternate site plans, it's the same community. Over on my side, the buildings are in 12-unit increments. Over to the far side, the buildings are grouped in 24 and 36-unit buildings. And you can see the benefit right off the bat from the site planning perspective. The additional green space allows for a 4.5-acre open green space for a pond. You can see, too, the separation from the buildings. Whereas here, you're sitting on your balcony here in the evening, you're looking right to the back patio, living room of your neighbor. One of the things that I want to point out on this 12-unit property is, as you look at these buildings that are connected, you look at these that aren't, and the way the world is evolving into green principles, the connected buildings offer a much more energy-efficient design. If you share a wall, there's no heat loss. The utility bills go down, and that would be a direct benefit to the residents. Another benefit would be, in the larger plan here, if you look to the bottom, where I've shown the 36-unit building, that allows us to provide an elevator. And one of the things that we talked about, strategic meetings and the findings in that process, one of the things I heard again and again was the need to serve our seniors here in the Berlin community. This provides more accessibility to those units.
And would there be an elevator in each and every one of those units?
Just in the 36-unit building on the south of the second.
And just, I mean, I'm just, again, it's a, in this plan, which we, it's a, the top one, are the 36-unit buildings the top three and the bottom
no,
two?
No, to your right, Mayor. The one on the far right top photo?
Let's see. Far right, right here?
Yes.
This one.
This one, right?
That's 36.
Okay.
That's where he wants to present.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and lastly, just looking at this, if you're a resident, if you live here, just for visiting or driving by the street, the ability to have that open green space, whether it's for fishing in the pond or picnic or throwing a football, is really a lot better when you have this openness than just between the buildings here. So what I'm doing tonight is asking you for your permission for this text amendment that I believe it will allow us to develop a better community.
Does anyone have any questions for either Mr. Cropper or Ms. Rainier regarding the text amendment?
What's feeding the pond to supply the water? Is that like a spring-fed pond or?
We have both irrigation wells, and it's a stormwater facility as well, so it will collect the rainwater. And one thing, you know, those renderings really don't do justice to what we build. So if you look on the last page of your handout, that's a picture of the open space with the pond. And that's really well received by our residents. And that's what that allows for. It's not very different than what we're planning here on Seahawk Road.
You mean this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
You've got a big pond, you've got a fountain in it, an uplit fountain, and it's just a, it sounds nice, it looks nice, and it's a nice place to come home to.
It's similar to the one in Salisbury.
Yes, that's a picture of our Orland Manor community.
Oh, okay.
And Mr. Cropper, I think the applicant also stated the fact, I know he stated it here, but I want to make sure that everyone heard this. I realize he can't promise that he's going to put no one but seniors in that 36-unit building, but that's what he's hoping to try to get in there with the use of those elevators. And I think that really needs to be stated for everyone so that we know, because that was one of the biggest things I wanted to see initially. Since we came that last meeting, you and your client had made that perfectly clear to us.
That's
what we're shooting for.
Yes. And that was a big part of the strategic planning sessions that we attended. There were significant comments from several in the community that came to Mr. Rainier, because that was not initially planned, and expressed the need to have that component as part of this project, and he agreed to do that. So that. That's a very significant reason why you're seeing that.
Now, will there be a 36-unit building in all the clusters eventually, do you think, or you've got to just do it as your market dictates?
What I'm hoping is the demand's going to show this is something we want to duplicate.
Perfect. Perfect.
Is that something also that I'm just looking at the changing demographics of the community? Certainly, we have more seniors than ever, and hopefully they'll be here with us longer than ever. But also, it seems to me that I've seen more families with very young children.
After year
and ironically, they also would benefit from an element. So it's like at both ends, and those of us in the middle are supposed to exercise and use the and hopefully can switch to the elevator very soon. is that a legitimate expectation? Because I can see where both ends demographically of our community are going to. To grow.
You do, and I see the billboards now that are changing stages of life. And you're right, you got the stroller, you got your grocery bag, you got all that, and it's hard to go upstairs. And then, the next picture they show is as the seniors get older, mobility and accessibility. It's harder to go up a set of stairs, particularly if you're on the third floor. Right. This makes all these units, all 36 units, equally accessible.
Does anyone have any other questions or concerns, comments?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Does anyone else in the audience tonight wish to talk to us and express?
So, in that rendering on the right, it's 136 units. And how many? What else is there? I can't see.
I'll bring it up to you.
Yeah. Kind of informal that way, whatever. Yeah, you pass it around, whatever makes works for you.
It's never about what relevance the developer wants. And of course, he's going to paint a pretty picture. The stormwater ponds are going away. If I lived there with my kids, I'd be scared to death. They'd be in that pond drowning.
Tell them what I told you about those alligators in there.
But, of course, they're going to tell you it's better.
What about the ones
they're spending less money, getting more product.
Those are 36, right?
Yeah, this is 36, but each of these 12 unit times is 36.
There are no elevators on the left.
Yeah. Yeah. They shouldn't even be there in the first place.
And how many persons
do you
have?
The door is closed.
So they'd be accessible to the handicap
on the mm-hmm. And his girlfriend.
How's he doing here? That would help.
Yeah. Really?
Why?
Well,
make it legal.
He wants what?
Yeah.
Make it legal. I will kill him. Oh, God.
All right, thank you. Does anybody else have any questions?
Can I just make a comment?
Sure.
Just kind of, I mean, I agree with you on the seniors' accessibility and this elevator and whatnot. On the flip side, I don't know that we want to promote elevator residences to younger families because there's an incredibly growing rate of obesity in this country. And if we, you know, teach children to use stairs as they're growing, it would help prevent some of that. So I think we want to encourage families to use stairs.
That's the thing.
Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions? Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, will there be precedent for the town? Say we approve the 36 units here. What's to say that we won't approve for another development in the future?
It all has to go through planning and zoning first. And that is something that is not automatic, but the circumstances of the overall development, the footprint, the scale, all those things have to pass muster before they'll even consider that.
So if all the boxes check, then chances are we could approve another 36-unit building somewhere else.
Somewhere else or even in the same development. That's correct. That's correct. Yes, sir.
But that approval would not come here. That approval would lie with the Planning Commission.
Right, but we could very easily see several 36-unit buildings within the town over the next 20 years.
Well, I put it this way: having seen this town, how long it's taken us 100 years to get to the point where we're finally self-sufficient, that would be a beyond optimistic. That would be a very highly energized go growth of development that we're not even considering, and that's why I want people to start thinking about incremental growth. But all growth can't be the same, and here's the, if infill growth would do it alone, it would be done already. But there's so many families, seniors and young families, that we still have a nice inventory of older homes that were in their glory 100 years ago, but it's just not economically feasible for either seniors or for younger families to come in, rehabilitate them, bringing them up to code, and then have any money left to eat. So, you know, I think a combination of the two over time where, you know, we have some different alternatives for different parts of our community market, which basically a diverse community. And this is another thing that I can remember, but there was a, you know, after the Great Depression, we lost a lot of good families. They just simply had to leave because they couldn't afford to live here. And then we ended up with a lot of unoccupied homes that we finally, at the turn of this century, are being rehabilitated and being restored so we can all have pride in their parents. Yes, sir.
I agree, Mr. Mayor, but I think that if we start the ball rolling, it is a possibility over the next 20-year period that we would see more of this. I'm not saying that I don't agree with it. I think it looks very pretty, but it's something that we need to consider as a grand picture for the town that we don't end up somewhere where we don't want to be.
Well, you know, but I think we have to have a plan and a vision, which is part of that planning process. But I don't. Here's the thing. I remember attending meetings in this room in 1971 where people said, we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that. Those people have been dead 30 years, and thank God they didn't get their way. So it's got to be a community conversation. It can't be just one or two people saying, you know, I was happy in the 1960s, and the 60s were wonderful, and anything that's happened since the 1960s has not been worth a damn. No, it's an ongoing community conversation, and I think our experience, I agree with you, our experience with something of this nature will tell us as a community, you know, not just the mayor and council, not just the planning commission, is this a good thing? How much of it is appropriate in terms of the scale and the volume? And then, you know, is this something that we need to be very restrictive? But if you can't fix what you never do. And that's where this town was for three quarters of a century. We just couldn't do anything except gradually die. And thank God for so many reasons and for so many wonderful citizens, private citizens, not just the town of Berlin, but the town of Berlin was supportive, put their money where their mouth was and put their effort where their heart was, and that's why we have the potential and that we have for the town of Berlin today. And I don't know anyone. I know I'm not supportive, and I don't know anyone up here is supportive. We're not trying to become the next Salisbury, but we want to be a better Berlin. And with all those wants, and there was nothing crazy, and I didn't see any crazy suggestions or anything outlandish when we did the strategic planning. I was so inspired by it and reassured that we got a lot of really good common sense people with their heads on right. But to provide those services over time, we either have to allow for responsible incremental growth, or we can just basically say, okay, this is going to be a town just for the well-to-do, and we'll all, including everybody at this table, will have to move out. That to me is not what this is about either. We can find a balance, and especially considering how far we've come in the last 30 years. 30 years ago, if you told anybody we'd be having this discussion now, they would have just laughed you out of the room. They're not laughing anymore. Now we do have a mutual responsibility to have these discussions and not prejudge and try to think about how can we do the greatest good for the greatest number of people and still maintain, like, I know our concern has been to maintain our small town charm. And so far, I honestly believe that the growth and the economic vitality this town has experienced has not undermined the quality of life. It's actually, to a great extent, made it possible. So I think we just need to constantly work for that balance. And I do appreciate everybody participating, because this is how we're going to get to the goal. And it's not something that's going to be done in one fell swoop. I honestly, sincerely believe this is a generational responsibility. For those of us who are privileged enough to be here for whatever time we serve, we'll carry the baton as far as we can, then we'll pass it on, and then you will pass it on. But the idea is to pass for the community to make informed decisions by being involved, and that's why I'm very pleased for the turnout tonight and for the comments you've all made.
Quick question, Mr. Mayor. I think that at the planning and zoning meeting, if I wasn't mistaken, that this part that you presented tonight is the first phase of this development.
Yes, that's correct. It's the first phase of the urban.
And that you will need to go back in front of planning and zoning for the second phase, and if the folks don't like this 36-unit building, that'll be addressed again at the second phase,
right.
And that could be not approved if the community doesn't.
Right, for each phase of the project, we will be required to return to the Planning Commission and meet the criteria. If we're seeking a 36-unit building, such as you're seeing on that rendering, in a subsequent phase, we address the criteria of this text amendment, and if it satisfies those criteria for the Planning Commission, they would have the authority and discretion to approve up to a 36-unit building on subsequent phases. But you're correct, that's up to the Planning Commission. This legislation merely gives them the ability
to
do
it,
but it doesn't in any way guarantee it. In fact, as I indicated at the Planning Commission, the way this legislation was drafted, in my opinion, it preserved the integrity of the 12-unit limit already in the code, and only on the circumstances of the criteria in this text amendment does the Planning Commission have the authority to go beyond that.
Yes, sir. Per month. Okay. Any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, I now officially close the hearing. And again, I can't tell you how much we appreciate the very thoughtful comments and questions. That's what it's all about.
Move to approve ordinance number 2015-06.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to pass the text amendment as proposed in 2015-06 to the town zoning ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Let the motion, the record show that the motion passed 3-1.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Next is we're going to have another public hearing. So let's roll again. Now I'd like to open a public hearing on Ordinance 2015-07 to authorize the town to issue and sell general obligation bonds to purchase property. And who's going to, Natalie, you're going to run with this?
Okay. We introduced the Ordinance 2015-07, October 26th, and I'm just going to read the first paragraph to make it short because it's a lengthy ordinance. An ordinance of the Council of Mayor and Council of Berlin to authorize and empower the town to issue and sell from time to time upon its full faith and credit general obligation bonds in one or more series in the principal amount not to exceed $3 million. The proceeds of the sale will be used and applied for the public purpose of financing reimbursement or refinancing costs or acquiring certain property known generally as the former Tyson property. Undertaking a feasibility study and environmental remediation activities with respect to such property, implementing uses on such property, acquiring nearby properties if necessary to facilitate those uses. So the ordinance 2015-07 authorizes an issuance of general obligation bond to purchase the former Tyson property and nearby properties and financing all the costs associated with.
Okay, and this makes possible the purchase of just over 60 acres.
Right.
Does anyone on the council or anyone in the audience have any questions? I suspect it would be best directed to Natalie, but we'll do our best. Does anyone have any comments that they would wish to make? Yes, sir.
Mark Proper on behalf of Berlin Properties North. We would very much appreciate it if you would adopt this ordinance.
Okay. Thank you. I like shortest statement you ever made, and probably the best because it was so short.
Bill him an hour.
Yeah, he's billing by the hour. No, thank you. Thank you. So any other comments, questions, or?
Can you delineate a little bit more about the property?
Yes, we can have at the. Strategic planning sessions, there were probably somewhere between around 30 suggested uses. They all can't be done. But in general, and so what we did is using those as a guideline, what I call the wish list, the list under the Christmas tree kind of thing, that we hired consultants, EDS, Environmental something.
I forget what EDSA stands for.
We hired a firm that had not only a great reputation here in the region, in Mid-Atlantic, but worldwide, and had done extensive work for the Disney Corporation. And they came in, looked at all the different possibilities, examined the properties. We are expecting a full report, I mean, literally any time. I'm just glad that we can get all this squared away. And what it will emphasize is all the alternatives, not just one set of plans, but I'm assuming somewhere around a half dozen different templates from which we can look at, see which of mix and match, And here's the two components. One is to try to meet as many of the community's most critical needs as possible. And by these needs, I mean things we've never had here. Indoor swimming, and all kinds of recreational activities, a skateboard park. It goes on and on and on. And fortunately, we're at a time in our lifetime of our community where we can now seriously consider these. They won't all happen at once. A very critical part of this will be developing a plan, the economic plan, the development plan, it won't be just the town of Berlin going in and building and developing and maintaining and operating these facilities. It will be a mix because it is what has worked in other places. It is what we can afford to do as a community. So let's say some of the water, indoor recreation and so forth. There are nonprofit organizations who are excellent at this. And most of the communities of our size on the eastern shore of Maryland and Delaware and Virginia already have them. It's just one of those quirks of fate that we don't, but now that we have got kind of at the end of the line, we'll probably end up with an extraordinarily great facility because there's nonprofits with proven practice. And through a combination of working with private enterprise, nonprofit organizations, and in some cases, through the supervision and operation of the what would become a town employee, another department director, wouldn't be required dozens of people running around to manage the property, that we would have an income stream from a variety of sources to then offset and retire the indebtedness. Down the road, then it would also provide income to maintain, upgrade, and make changes as time goes by, because I'm sure that what people might want at that property, that in 30 years, there may be some things that they'd like to do then that are popular now but not then. But the whole thing is it has to be self-sustaining financially. Now, does that mean we're going to be able to make everybody happy? No. But here's the other thing I would like to strongly encourage. This is a property that we're taking from the outhouse to the penthouse in terms of its value to the community. It has been an environmental headache and it's just been an embarrassment to an otherwise very nice town. And the only way we can and it's taken a long time, but it finally became apparent that the only way we would ever control the fate of this very significant property is for the town to annex it, to own it, and then repurpose it so that it can be a benefit to the community and that it can be self-sustaining economically. Which combination of ingredients, I don't think we know yet, because over time, just like everything else, we'll come up with a couple of alternatives. We'll work with these consultants. Then guess what? We'll have a sit down and we'll get people's input and we'll talk about the pros and cons. But here's the thing: economics will drive this. Something that is economically feasible in the next 2 to 3 to 5 years is going to happen before something else that might take 10 years to be financially sustainable. That's just life. We will obviously want to meet as many needs as we can as long as we're doing it in a financially responsible way. So that's a heck of a question. I think we're going to have fun answering it, but it is going to require, the same way we revitalized downtown, the same way we've revitalized so many aspects of this community, by working together, by sharing ideas, and by not saying, oh, these few people are going to decide everything and everybody else can go take a hike. That's just not the way we work, not the way this town has worked for a long time. So we encourage your participation. Realize that I think it's a most of the things that people want through the strategic plan, they will eventually have, but just not all at once. And we'll have to go about it in a way that's financially responsible. Thank you very much for the question. Yes, sir.
How does that general obligation bonds and
what period of frame, time frame do you have?
I think it's 30 years.
And then yep. paying it off or as far as the debt?
30 years, I believe.
30 years.
The 30 years is the maximum time which all the bonds must be paid off. And what the responsibility and the challenge of the mayor and council, working with all of our partners, nonprofit partners, for-profit, and so forth, and for-profit, I mean, like somebody wants to come in and have a festival and they have to pay a significant amount of money to use the property. That money, then the first place it goes is to offset the indebtedness. It's been done in other places a lot. It's just new to Berlin because Berlin has had such a long, long road to get here. But now here's another thing to keep in mind. For those things that can't be done at that property, we're also emphasizing like community center in East Berlin. There are still some things that can be added down to the recreation fields in the south part of Berlin. There are opportunities in the future for the western portion of Berlin. And, of course, within reason, there are some infill situations in what I'll call traditional downtown Berlin. Our hope, our goal, but it's not strictly here, it's going to be generational, is to make sure that every neighborhood has amenities that are appropriate and meaningful and convenient to that neighborhood. And that every time you want to do something, you don't have to get into an automobile to get there. That's the 20th century, and that's proven to be a disaster for many communities. I can tell you what, I don't know anybody in this community wants to turn Berlin into a suburb with a very small core and a great big suburb. Isn't that why we all live here? So we don't have to live over there, and many friends, relatives, so forth. We want to build a community the way they used to be built, where things are immediately accessible as much as is humanly possible. You don't have to get in your car every time you want to do something that you need for daily living or for recreation or for socialization and cultural experiences. I'm sorry it's so generalized, but that's where we are. Yes,
Mr. Mayor, general obligation bonds, if they're not paid for using the proceeds from the project, how will they be paid for? That's my understanding that if the project has not produced the income to pay the payments on the bond, that it's then either paid out of tax coffers or new taxes can be levied.
If we're that damn incompetent, that's what will happen. And this town, the thing is, and because it sometimes drives us crazy, there are more people knocking on the doors than we can deal with at any one time. So what I honestly think we're going to be able to do is pick and choose, hopefully, the right matchup. The days when this town was constantly on the brink of how are we going to pay next month's bills, it is a part of our history. Now we have to determine how are we going to financially responsibly and financially take advantage of the many opportunities and some of the challenges that come along with them that has been earned over multiple generations. To say, oh, the future's not guaranteed. Guess what? It's never been guaranteed. But doing nothing guarantees you nothing. And that's what happened to this town in most of the 20th century. And the people who have lived here for generations, the people who have moved here, have made it very clear they want the kind of town that they've worked for the last several decades. And if somebody thinks we're headed in the wrong direction, please speak up, get out there, and run against all us, do whatever you think you have to do. Mm-hmm. But I feel very strongly, having lived here for multiple generations, that I think for most people, we're finally achieving and finally becoming the kind of community with many people wish for, hope for, and we now have the opportunity to be. But we have to do it in a very business-like, strategic way. And yeah, if I thought we were borrowing money so we could dig a hole and throw it away, I'd be the first in line saying, stop. that's not where we are as a community. And I so many creative, interested, dedicated people. We have more volunteers per capita than any community in Maryland. I just can't but believe that between us, not just people sitting here, not just the commissions, not just the business owners, but between all of us, that we can't come up with rational, financially responsible ways to provide the amenities that many other towns have enjoyed for half a century.
I think the one thing, too, that the folks need to understand is Berlin is a sustainable community. We've just been recertified as a sustainable community. The fact that that 68 acres was sitting there and could be purchased by any industrial business, whether they live in Maryland or the worst kind of landowner, one that doesn't live in the state, there's a lot of money available through the federal government and the state government for sustainable grants, taking a eyesore, taking an industrial piece of property and turning it into something that can be used by the whole community. This is also protecting what we've done to downtown with our businesses, et cetera. The fact that that'll never go back into industrial use and that there'll no longer be chicken trucks with live chickens, renderings, et cetera, going in and out of Berlin. We all forgot about that, but that was a part of everyday Berlin when that plant was in operation. There was also a heavy odor from that plant. We forgot about it. It hasn't been here for a while. But my point is that the mayor and council are not going to do anything with that property to put ourselves financially at risk and to put us out of where we can't afford to do that. Whatever's done at that property can be done with grants. It can be done with working with other partnerships like the mayor has talked about. There's a lot of nonprofits. Who knows the county? The MAC Center's there. We need another entrance to that property. That road is there. I know that there's grants available for senior centers, you know, anything to do with Department of Aging. There's a $1 million grant there. The DNR has grants for property. It's just a matter of time of acquiring the property, which we've been slow to do, I think. We've done our due diligence. Now we're at the bond part. But we, you know, what the mayor's talking about with the money that we just agreed earlier to get another firm in here to guide us, you know, we don't want to make a mistake with this project. I kind of see it like the wastewater plant. You know, that was a huge problem 7-8 years ago. Where was the money coming from? How are we going to put it together? Well, with due diligence, a lot of the staff that's here and our new staff, we were able to do that. And so far, the wastewater plant is working. It's not made us have to, you know, cut and trim other ways because it's working with the grants, the loans, et cetera. And that's the kind of vision I do believe that we have for the Tyson plant. You know, the first part was acquiring it, making sure that it was clean, could be used, and we've done that part. Now we're to the part where how are we going to purchase it? And then the third part's going to be how are we going to do things there that this can, like the mayor said, sustain itself, not be a burden on the town? Well, that's where we are now. But I just want the public to know that we're not buying this Tyson plant to hurt the town financially, that it should be in the future, and it's going to be a long process, not overnight. But it will be, I think, in the future, something that the town can look back and say, thank God this is an industrial site again. You know, we took it and took something that was a blight and turned it into something that we all can use and maybe other residents in the county as well.
Yes, sir.
Sorry to be a pain in your butt tonight. I agree that if we could turn it into something great, it would be awesome. But I guess, Mr. Copper, my question would be for you. In the 600-page environmental study, it said that until 2025, there couldn't be another chicken plant there. Is that true?
Didn't say anything about clam plants? It didn't say anything about all these other awful things?
I'm just saying that we're not going to have to worry about chicken trucks until 2025, correct?
Well, like I said, I certainly don't have that study handy with me. And obviously,
I hope that we wouldn't have that to worry about, but I also want to make sure that the town's in a nice position, that the property property can be used for something that's great and not going to incur more debt.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think it's so interesting because when I first started spending $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 was a very onerous thing. It was a lot of responsibility because there wasn't much money. And gradually, though, by making strategic decisions, not every one of them worked perfectly, but they didn't sit there and say, you know, we can't do this. And this is something we're not saying we're going to do this by. Oh, we're going to go ahead and proceed regardless if we got the income flow or not. No, once we've got a contract, once we've got a partner, once we've got a plan, then we'll proceed with that part. So it's kind of like if you would build your own business. You know, you have usually a plan. It's in phases. You say if we have high growth in this area, we'll move forward a little faster. And this is not a five-year deal. This is a generational opportunity. And quite frankly, you know, I don't expect to see it, but I certainly hope. But your children and grandchildren, the people who move here in the future and the people who retire here, someday it'll be a great source of pride and a game changer in also making all the other properties in town more valuable. This is the other thing that I think gets forgotten sometimes. We're the only community in the state of Maryland during the Great Recession has lowered our property taxes. We didn't do it through magic. We did it by making more properties in town valuable again that used to be valuable when my grandfather was young. Then they went through hell, and now they're valuable again, but not ridiculously priced compared to the other real estate in the area. It's a hell of a deal. So, you know, that's part of the plan here. If we add the right amenities at the right pace, so, you know, you don't get the cart before the horse and you don't get spending too much money too quick, hey, this is a checks and balance thing, but it all starts with owning the land, because I think one of the mistakes that I saw for many years is if you don't own land, you have very little to say about it. and one of the things that we're doing now is trying to make sure that the people who invest in land who are in the private sector and the people and government itself, we work together, just like we are out here at Dollar General, to provide things that the community needs in terms of public safety in that case. The third component is water resources through a new water tower when development supports it and when it's needed, and then retail operation that will add a lot of money to our property tax revenues. It's not just one thing. I think the old thinking is it's all government all the time. Well, it's not all government all the time, and we've also seen what happens if you basically say, oh, it's all the capitalistic thing. Well, you end up with a few people doing very well and everybody else, you know, left out of the picture. We're trying to find the 21st century way. And again, I can't guarantee you we'll never make a mistake, but I don't think it'll ever be anything near fatal. And part of that will be the more interest that people participate, the more people, you know, help to guide us into what it is that is the most important to them, and even more so, what's really important to the legacy we leave behind, to the folks behind us. You know, so many people for generations got an education here and had one choice, leave. We're finally to the point, thank goodness, in the last 20 years, where younger people, I'm talking anybody 45 or younger, at least now have a opportunity to make a living here. Surely they can make more money in a more metropolitan area, but the additional income they can make is more than wiped out by the loss of quality of life. And what I think we are all very conscious of here is that we want economic opportunity, but without destroying our quality of life. And that's always a matter of finding balance, and it's a matter of constant decision making, and it's a process just like growing up through life. And I think this is a significant step. That's why I'm so, you know, been thinking about this for many, many years, And the fact that we, it's not, I don't claim that it'll be easy, but I don't also think that it's in any way impossible or in any way a pipe dream. I think it's inevitable if this community keeps moving forward as it has been for the last 30 years. Okay, so yeah, I'm sorry. Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir.
I'm not sure if it's a pipe dream or not. I do want to thank Liz Hall for finally making a comment. It was vague that there were some grant monies available to help develop this park. My concern hinges on the open session that's going to be attended by consultants here. And the financial person we had here was pretty clear to me that the revenue you generate for these uses of the park may cover operating costs, but will not touch acquisition or development. So still, that financial burden is a great concern to myself and many others.
Yeah, and that's assuming there's nobody interested.
No, that's assuming that we develop the things that you proposed. She said everything that you proposed there may cover its operating costs, but it will not cover its development.
Is that the report that you've gotten? I haven't gotten that at all.
No. I mean, it might not be verbatim, but the newspaper even touched on the fact that it will not cover its costs.
She identified some things that would not be covering their costs. She also identified some activities that would. That was my take on it, that there was a table and there were some things that had not or would not cover their costs, and then those were some things that came out of the strategic planning meetings, and then there were others. She had come up with some from the strategic planning meetings That would
help. The assumption you're making is that anything that will cannot be generated through partnerships, leases, arrangements, is going to come directly out of your pocket. It's the only alternative we have. Well, you know, it is not. This town has received more grant money than any other town in Maryland in the last 8 years. Except for Baltimore City. But we never go with an empty hand, and we never go to them with a half-assed idea. The wastewater treatment plant, we were paying years ago, for many years, we were paying fines to the EPA for violating the basic standards of wastewater treatment. Is that a good investment of money? So what we did is we came up with a plan. We said, let's design the plant we really need, and then let's find the money to do it. Over 50% of the money that made that now award-winning wastewater treatment plant possible, it was through grants from all levels of government. Mm-hmm. And this is the part that, and I will say this, it's not just aimed at you, it's at all, it's most communities, most counties, and I've said this in many other forums because I've been asked to speak so much over. I've got two speeches coming up in the next few weeks. Most communities go to their potential grant partners and say, we need X, Y, Z, and we've got a really good reason we need it, and we need it yesterday, and they're holding out an empty hand. And they say, oh, that's very nice. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You really do need that. Now get in line. And that line begins in Alaska. When we go to our partners, regardless of whether it's the county, the state, the federal government, nonprofit agencies, various foundations, we go with as much as we can scrape up. And we show them that we have done that. We did that with the storm water. There are places that We so far have gotten just under $2 million in grants because we the public supported having a modest, very modest stormwater fee.
It was $200,000 initially that we put into that line item. Then the residents are paying a little under $5 a month. The businesses are paying on their pervious to non-pervious. And that $200,000 plus the money we've collected in the past 2 years has turned into almost $2 million in grants.
And it's not the end.
We wouldn't have been able to afford to do it.
And other communities are saying, oh, we're not going to do that. We're not going to ask our citizens to raise even a dime, but we want somebody else to pay for it. Well, you know, that to me is fantasy land. And I think that is why we believe, based on not just what we think can happen, but what this town has been doing gradually over three decades, is by investing in ourselves to the extent that we can afford it, it's amazing how other people are waiting and looking for those opportunities. And I think that's going to be true here as well. And, you know, I know it may seem somewhat daunting, but given the challenges, given the things that we've overcome in just the last 30 years, this is a natural part of the process. This is not something ominous. It's an opportunity. And sure, every opportunity has filled with challenges, but this community has shown decade after decade that show us what we need to do, we'll find a way. Mm-hmm. So, I don't want you losing sleep at night thinking that going to knock on your door and say, hey, I'm going to take thousands of dollars from you because we've decided to do this. That's just not
going to
happen. Well, you know what I mean.
If you consider the total development cost beyond the $3 million we're going to spend, sure, we've gotten some grants in the past, but really nothing we wish us to go forward on.
I understand your concern, and I guess it's all a matter of perspective, and like I say, it's not all going to happen overnight. Yes, ma'am.
I guess I'm a little confused because on the one hand we're saying that we don't want it to be knocking on people's doors, but yet we're using stormwater as an example in which we are paying for that spot. I'm a little unclear.
Well, it's something there would be if we hadn't done that, which many counties have still not done. You're basically, the answer to the solution is, we're not going to spend any local money at all. We're saying here, we're putting up the ante by basically saying we are putting the full faith and credit of this town up, and then we're going to go to work because not just these consultants, but there are so many possibilities. Our choice is not if we can do something, but what we should choose from the possibilities that make the most sense, both financially and culturally for the community. I guess it's kind of like it's not all one thing or the other. And you know, to say, you know, this is going to be something that what we're trying to avoid here is literally a community where it shuts down, and then as things need to be improved, people are forced out. I mean, it's happening all over the country where, you know, average citizens can't stay because the cost of just getting along keeps going up and up and up, and there's no way to grow the pie. And what we're saying here, we want to grow the pie strategically and incrementally, and not just. Decision by decision, a little of this, a little of that. This is a game changer.
You're incorrect that you want to do this without having to come down from people's doors. Or am I not doing that correctly?
I'm sorry.
We're talking about increasing taxes to cover things that might not, depending on how things work, there's not enough money. So where would that come from ultimately? Well, it sounds like the goal is to not come to residents.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, residents were the ones who were paying for the stormwater. So I guess it just seems a little inconsistent.
Well, and it's because there are different things. Stormwater is, at least in this community's view, is an obligation, an infrastructure obligation that didn't used to exist, but the community overwhelmingly supports and believes that stormwater should be something that we control. It's been a disaster by not doing that, and this is an amenity where stormwater is an absolute necessity. That's to me the difference. And I don't think we should expect anybody else to take care of our necessities without us at least adding up our fair share.
And don't forget. We live in Berlin, and if we're going to be in your pocket, it's my pocket too. And the first thing with this Tyson property is to secure the property. Now, yes, eventually we're going to have plans to develop that, but like G has said, that'll come in stages and as we can afford, as we can afford. But the first step is to secure the property. And folks, if this project was not a doable project, I will be sitting there with you, beating the bandwagon down because just like you, I'm concerned about my pocket. And I have to pay the same tax and fees that you pay. So we're not looking to be in no one's pocket concerning this Tyson property. Not my pocket, anyway.
Thank you. And,
if you give me assurance that the mayor and councilor say that we can build a community center on the other side of town, a water tower, a new police station, and develop this park without costing us anything in taxes, I'll be all for it. That sounds great.
You mean additional taxes?
Additional taxes.
Because, see, I'm really excited about the Tyson plant. Because let me explain why. I was sitting here 20 years ago when we had to fight the Tyson plant for the smell and everything else we were fighting them for. It got really got into the mayor and we got fighting and everything was going on. I mean, I got threats. Calls to my house because I was fighting against the Tyson plant. And all that kind of stuff was going on with the council. And when I looked at these plans 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was so excited. The potential of what can be there. I mean, it's so much.
Sure.
It's so much that can be there and operate for a profit. That's why I'm excited about it. And I'm like Dean, you know, I can't afford to pay any more taxes.
No,
but I think it's going to generate some extra revenue for our town, and everybody's going to be excited about it. In the next 10 years, it'll be something that we can look back at and say, I'm so glad that we did this, that I don't know what to do.
But it's going to be phases.
Can't be all done at once.
Right.
We're not
as
Disney.
As we can afford and as the money's available.
We got good consultants, but we're not Disney World. Yes, sir.
Natalie, what's our payment for the bonds? What do we pay out to the bondholders while we wait in limbo?
We have a certain number, so we're going to get in a grace period of 40 days, and during that we're going to solicit banks, and whoever is going to win the lowest and the best offer, then I will be able to provide some certain numbers.
Okay.
Right now, as the interest rates rise from 4.6 to 6%, so it depends.
Where is that ballpark?
Like I said, it will depend on the offer and on the payments, how many times a year, what's the percentage of interest. So
yeah,
if we have another
4.5 loan or 6 high on $3 million.
It will average between 100 to 200 payments a year. That's what interest is here.
Now, how does the bond? Like, say we issue the bond, and they all won't sell at premium, which is what we would love. But say a portion of them go unsold. Does the town need the burden of that? Or is the bank saying that they're going to be able to sell all the bonds?
It will be a full pledge. It will be
okay.
All sold.
So then if they don't all sell, then what happens?
We will not accept the offer from the bank on that terms.
Any other? These are great questions, by the way. Thank you. Any other?
And this is just the first process, right, Natalie, to go mm-hmm. for the bond and has to be advertised? And
well, the bond been advertised. We've advertised it twice already, and this is the acceptance ordinance as of today. If this is accepted, then we're going to go for solicitations. We're going to be in process of selecting the bank with the best offer. And the process is going to go through February 15th, and that's when we will go for settlement. That's the process.
So we will be able, this since it's been advertised twice, we can vote on this tonight?
Right.
February, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions? All right, so hearing them, I will now officially close the public hearing. And again, thank you so much for your very great interest and great questions and your insights and comments.
Can I make that motion then?
Certainly, whatever you'd like.
I'd like to make a motion to authorize the town to issue and sell general obligation bonds to purchase property. Ordinance 2015-07.
Okay, we have an ordinance proposed by Councilmember Hall to authorize the issuing and selling of general obligation bonds in the amount of $3 million under Ordinance 2015-07. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, let the record show the vote was 4-0.
All righty.
Okay. The next is our departmental reports. Natalie, do you have it? Can you top that?
a quick update on the Tyler.
Okay, yeah.
Our new software providers. Today we have completed the first billing utility data pool. Basically, Logix have collected everything what we have in the system, and they call it cushion data to Pilot Technologies. So they will be looking at what Logix have provided, and basically examining, summarizing in reports, and then providing us with the map how it's going to be converted to Tyler. Meanwhile, we're going to be just right now on hold pretty much for another week till 19th of November. And then November 19th, we're going to pull another data, and then we'll compare the one from the beginning and the one from the end. And then we'll shift it on us, and we will be matching what we have in the system and what Tyler converted into the system. So basically, it's like a mapping. It's going back and forth, looking what they have and what we have and comparing to each other. It's going to be a lengthy, very tedious process, but hopefully it will go smooth.
Do you think it's realistic, I mean, to make this conversion by the first part of the next fiscal year, late next summer? Is that starting to look iffy?
We have accepted the schedule that Tyler provided to us, and the plan is to have Tyler software up and running by mid of April and going live in May. So by fiscal year, we should be utilizing the new software. That's
good.
Both financials and utilities.
And utilities.
Okay, that's very encouraging considering all the challenges. Thank you.
How is the comparison going to be done? What's going to be the process? Who's going to be looking at this stuff and
Pilot taking Logix, put in into Tyler, and then they're going to be giving us the reports back from the Tyler. We will be literally sitting and just going with.
We will be comparing the reports to what we have in our system.
To what we have in Logix. Make sure everything ties, make sure everything up to our satisfaction. And then the minute we will say yes, it's okay, they will move to the next step.
Okay.
And today I have attended earlier today in the day Governor's Grand Conference at the College Park. And just to reinitiate, there was a lot of conversation on grants, and the session I have attended was on sustainability and environment grants, transportation, and energy grants. And basically, the short summary of everything what I've taken, it's a lot out there. A lot of it is available. We just have to knock on every single door possible.
Don't take them for granted.
Right. Try. And finally, somebody will answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So persistence is the key, okay, and sort of an organized dunning of everybody.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Next is Police Chief Arnold Downey.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to first thank the Sheriff's Office for their assistance for our annual trick-or-treating on Halloween and our actual other partners for the different events that did occur during that weekend. On Friday, Homes for Berlin sponsored with Bay Terrace, Worcester Youth, and the Police Department an event in which over 30 families participated in painting pumpkins and having a great time, you know, on that Friday. We had Berlin Area Ministries with the Harvest Fest on Saturday, and we also had the Trunk and Treat at First Baptist to go along with the trick-or-treating events, and it was a busy town, and everyone seemed to have a wonderful time, and no big issues, no great concerns, and we're just a blessed community to go ahead and have that type of participation all the way around in assistance for events such as this. So, again, I say thank you to all our partners.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, safety is the basis for all other things. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have a couple brief things. The previous meeting, Council Member Burrell brought up some of the sidewalk signs in front of the Atlantic Hotel. Ivy Wells talked to the merchants the night after that meeting at their merchant meeting. I couldn't attend that night, but we have plans. We're going to do some outreach. We're going to have to talk to them about the ordinances. They're kind of policing themselves now where, you know, we've made clear to them the 3 foot for accessibility for the ADA. Laura Allen's talked to several of the merchants also. So we're going to just build a dialogue with them. This coming meeting, it's the first Tuesday every month, the Main Street Merchants Association. So Ivy and I will get together and talk with them and see, you know, right now they're cooperating very well. That's really what we need. Make sure that they're, and we've got some other ideas. Town Administrator Laura Allen wanted to know and if we could discuss maybe signs not being on the sidewalks during events. So we're going to get their input and see how, what kind of solutions we can get together.
So many.
That's how we're going to address it. Right now we're. Ms. Tomaselli from Baked Desserts, she's been walking out there every morning with her yardstick. She shows me from across the street to make sure she has 3 feet. So we're addressing it that way.
But it's how so many other things got working, with having everybody working together and supporting each other. That I think that's the ultimate solution here, and I'm glad to hear it's gotten a favorable response rather than a negative one.
The only other item I wanted to mention, Mr. Fleetwood has been working on the Welcome to Berlin signs. I secured the permits last week from the county, so we're ready to go whenever we can get the signs going with Public Works. The Welcome to Berlin sign out on Broad Street and the one coming up on 113 northbound.
Excellent.
They should be going up soon.
Thank you both.
Just one little thing about the signs. That's really great, Dave, that you all had that conversation started. But I've watched this process for 7 years. You know, at the historic meeting, they come in, a new business, and they have to make application. And I think there's a small fee involved. And then the historic commission looks at their sign and approves it. But there's one piece missing.
I don't think that's part of it.
That used to be it. But I'm just saying the one thing missing in the code is we don't give any direction on the placement of the signs. And I think that maybe that's something we could look at in the future, that's like the little piece missing, that, you know, it's kind of like they get their sign, everything's good, and it's not necessarily the people that are right on Main Street because you know where they're going to place their sign in front of their business. It's the folks that are off of Main that really need them. That one little piece, it's like, they can just put them wherever.
Yeah, maybe you can make that part of the discussion. And because here's the thing, is everyone benefits when the side street merchants also succeed. It takes a lot of pressure off the off the Main Street merchants, ironically, to try to carry everything.
Well, in looking into this a little further, and the last time that sidewalk sign ordinance was amended, one item was struck from it, and that was that they had to remove the signs each evening. There's never been any mention of the sign, although it's been operated that way for years, that it had to be in front of your storefront. So I went back and looked at council minutes and historic minutes, you know, from back in that period, 2005, and in previous adjustments to the ordinance, 2003. The last one, I believe, was 2013, before my time here. And there was a lot of discussion that, and a lot of public comment, mostly merchants, that they didn't want to see the sign have to be in front of your own business because of the merchants who aren't on Main Street. They rely on, and we've had some feedback since we started this talk again, some of them had said, that's 40% of my business. If I can't tell them where I am when I'm down Pitt Street or I'm down Bay Street here, like Mrs. Tomaselli was saying, that will strangle me, strangle my business. So this is something I want to talk to them about.
Yeah. And again, the main thing is have the discussion ongoing. Think of how many new businesses there are in this town compared to when even some of us first started working together just a few, seven or eight years ago. I think it is a good thing to have a regular conversation, and I think the idea that, again, being supportive, if everybody says, look, we need the side street merchants, they certainly added a lot to the town, but we also need to, obviously, we want to make sure the ADA requirements are complied with, and we also want to make it very safe for these events that I think none of us could have dreamed would be as popular as they are and as well attended. So I think a lot of this goes back to, mutual cooperation and collaboration. And I think an honest discussion about it, where it's not about, hey, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. This whole evolution of this community happened because we got past the idea that somebody had to lose for somebody else to win. And I think that's just a theme that I ask you to share between Ivy and the merchants themselves. And, I know that they realize it, but sometimes it just takes a little public discussion in a cooperative format. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Next is the town administrator's report.
Actually, Jeff. Managing director's.
Jeff Fleetwood.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeff, do you have anything?
I actually don't have anything.
That's great.
But I do want to say sincerely, I know this is a little bit premature. We meet again in 2 weeks for our next business meeting. That's the 23rd of November, just a couple days before Thanksgiving, so the holiday season is here. Wow, I can't believe it.
Mm, yep.
And as we do move forward, on behalf of, because I know that there's going to be people out here over the next couple of meetings, from the employee group and from the department heads, the utmost gratitude is expressed to you and the citizens of this town for the opportunity that you bestow upon us. So thank you.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to.
Careful. You still need copies. Careful. I had a good 35, right?
A good 35, yes.
I can't.
Come on now, Dean.
Okay, very good. I just want to briefly review something.
Sorry.
You actually cut her off.
He's anxious.
I don't even have one.
Just a couple announcements.
Oh, okay.
Regarding the Christmas parade, we have reached our maximum. We have 83 entries, 14 of which are new from last year. And we received $3,305 in donations and $685 in entry fees.
That's awesome.
Wow. So it's almost $4,000.
Yeah. So that will offset a lot of the expenses of the parade. That's great.
Excellent.
The trophies.
And this Saturday, we have our Just Walk event in Berlin. We've got 81 people who've committed to attending on Facebook, which is by far the largest turnout we've ever seen. So it's a record for us. We're pretty
and I'm challenging you all. I never see you. I go every year.
I'll be there at the start and then I have an appointment.
Don't look at me, Dean. It's good.
Registration starts at 9. There'll be a warm up at 9:30 and then we'll go ahead and walk. That concludes my report.
Thank you.
But basically, I just wanted to bring an update because I know with the big news, and I guess it was last week's papers about the result of the land auction on October 30th. In which two large properties were sold just north of US 50. There have been some questions and, in some cases, speculation about the tax status of the newly purchased land. And so I wanted it to be on the record, and of course, I will share this with the press by email if you're even interested. First, there were two major purchases at the auction. One was approximately 348 acres, formerly known as the Beach Club Golf Course. That property has never been annexed or ever has been sought to be annexed into the town of Berlin. So no property taxes have been paid to the town of Berlin, nor are they expected to be as long as the land remains outside of Berlin's municipal limits. The second sale of property was approximately 245 acres, known most commonly as the Davis-Taylor Farm. The property was annexed into town on December 20th, 1999. And at that time, the annexation agreement provided a tax abatement to the land, which originally started as four separate parcels. In 2003, all but 32 acres of the 245 acres of the Davis-Taylor Farm was purchased by a developer, and property taxes have been paid to the town of Berlin on all of the remaining acres ever since. There are no outstanding taxes due on any of the 245 acres since property taxes became effective in 2003 under terms of the annexation agreement with the town. Property taxes on these acres within the town limits totaled $3,275.56 in the current fiscal year. Town taxes have been assessed and paid on this land every year since 2003, even as ownership has changed at least once in the past 12 years. According to the terms of the 1999 annexation agreement, the homestead for the farm properties, approximately 32 acres, has been exempt from Berlin property taxes. While it is true that most of the Berlin Davis-Taylor Farm, about 245 acres, has changed ownership as a result of the auction, the 32-acre homestead is still benefiting from the tax abatement because it was not sold. The 32-acre homestead will remain exempt from town property taxes until one of two things happens, until either the 32 acres changes ownership or until municipal water and sewer services are extended to the homestead. I trust this explanation will provide everyone with the past circumstances and current and future expectations regarding Berlin property taxes for the property sold at the recent land auction. And I thank you for your patience. And again, I will send that to all members of the press, and you can either use it or ignore it or whatever your best judgment is, but I thought at least it should be for the record.
Just one thing. Yes. Hopefully it's a fun thing. I want to thank the chief and his staff and the sheriff's department for helping us on Halloween. There were about 15 of us in our group, adults and kids that were out. What I'd like to bring to everyone's attention is that when we were traveling down Jefferson Street, there was a well-known resident from Main Street trying to get down Jefferson Street in his car with his family at about 5:30, quarter to 6. And he was tooting his horn. The place was jam-packed with kids. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I rapped on his window because the police were busy elsewhere. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm trying to get down to such and such a house." And I said, "You're not going to make it. You can't get down there. There are barricades up there." So what I'm asking is, next year, if we could try to bring that out and maybe block off all of Jefferson, Gay, and Washington. There were just a ton of kids out there.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun.
All right, Chief, if you'll work with the businesses and the residents in the area, which I know you know intimately over the years, and see if what kind of plan you might be able to come up with. Because, yeah, it's just...
What we had here in that situation, at least two times people moved barricades. Again, and they're talking to the residents and advising. We're talking about 98% of their, comply,
yep,
and understand,
yep,
and 2%, again, can't legislate common sense.
There's always those couple that,
yeah,
got to.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Again, we'll definitely there make sure we have guys out there. One thing is we're going to make it that they're attempt to have more help, and we'll hopefully they're, it's going to get bigger. It's not going to be small.
Yeah. Right.
That. And with that said, we just out there need to go ahead and have more manpower than we did have. We had all hands on staff, and it was a handful. But again, we have to have people complying. It was a very easy job. So again, we definitely know exactly what he was talking about, and we know, again, we had the same thing happen on West Street.
Right.
Josh helped us out in another situation. So again, one thing is getting those phone calls, that information right then and there. We get to the point where the issue is as soon as possible, and again, that's the best that we'll be able to do.
Yeah, the man wanted to back up, and I said, "Don't.
No,
just pull over.
No.
Yeah. Stop." I mean, he only had to walk down two or three houses. I don't want to embarrass him, but he finally did that. and he walked. I mean, they were doing a great job. We've tried to say hi to the chief, and he's busy running down Main Street after somebody hollering at him because they're driving up now Main Street 1,000 miles an hour. And he's trying to keep cars slow and kids out of the street. It's a lot of fun, but it's a headache for you, chief, for at least 2 or 3 hours.
But you saw how many cars were actually parked at the church that actually lived on Washington Street. Again, they had to Washington Street again for the people that are parked. They're a great resident, and they have a good plan. And it was a great time for
it
all
was.
Of them.
It was a lot of fun.
I think it's one of the things very well for is that sometime in the late summer, early fall, maybe with the department heads and certainly the town administrator, and maybe it might be a situation. I don't know. I don't want to pledge somebody else's time. But it might be something where maybe some of our ambassador type volunteers might be able to assist.
Absolutely. At the barricades or whatever.
I think he's already made the statement. We've already had a statement from the Berlin Car Company, and the challenge was already made. We have 15 other park police or members for our department. Again, we'll be able to go ahead and do a lot more. Again, we're still going to have people that are going to be very busy and all those sort of things. We can't be on every street corner regardless of how many people we have. But again, we're talking about 2 hours. And
yeah.
We have people coming together. And again, sheriff's office did a wonderful job. State police, because it was a weekend, and because we had to go ahead and worry about, again, happy hour, not truly happy hour, but those times, and all the adult parties afterwards, they had a lot of manpower in other areas. And it was up there, again, something they had to go ahead and do. And it became a safe night, again, when it's one of the worst nights for us conditionally, and we didn't know those problems or issues, so again, we're a blessed community.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lisa,
do you have anything?
I don't have anything tonight, thank you.
I don't have anything.
I've already talked enough.
I'm holding mine back because I want
good years. Thanks for my present. Love you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I don't have a thing. But happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Birthday.
Thank,
yes.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's make that official in the minutes, please.
Thanks.
Do we have any questions from anyone who's in attendance here tonight? Do we have any questions from anyone with the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Stand adjourned. Thank you for your patience. Enjoy.
I will think of you all. Thank you.
Next time we'll have a birthday cake. We can share some cookies.
There you go.
I just like
to
share.
Take day off. When's it?
Okay.
That's right.